Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and a very warm welcome to today's broadcast. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick and I'll be with you for the next half hour. Coming up today, spotlight on the visit of Pope Francis to the Marian Shrine of Aparecida. Salam from Pope Pius XII to Pope Francis in the shadow of Christ the Redeemer. But first we join Sean Patrick Lovett, currently in Brazil, reporting on the 28th World Youth Day. He brings us the latest from Rio de Janeiro.
For me, it was the music that made it emotional and not simply spectacular, which of course it was. The Via Crucis has become both a central and much anticipated event in the World Youth Day celebrations and an artistic tour de force in its own right. My personal favorite is the one I saw in Sydney in 2008. It was an itinerant Way of the Cross that involved the entire city, with the 14 stations animating the bay and harbour area on land and water and culminating on the steps of the iconic Sydney Opera House. My least favorite is the one I remember seeing in Denver in 1993. The role of Jesus was played by a girl. Here in Rio, Jesus was interpreted by different actors and in a contemporary style. The overall effect was meant to provide an artistic dialogue between traditional popular religious symbolism and the needs, concerns, and expectations of youth. Each of the stations that punctuated the long stretch of Copacabana Beach drew attention to different existential questions posed by young people today, from love and loneliness to motherhood and mission, from suffering and student life to disability and death.
Acima da cabeça de Jesus, puseram o motivo de sua condenação.
The 10th station, Jesus is stripped of his garments, was dedicated to social networks and the need to focus on the centrality of the human person without losing oneself in the labyrinth of the web. The World Youth Day Cross was the true protagonist of the evening, carried by 30 young people representing the different stops the cross has made on its way from Rome to Rio, and accompanied by 200 others waving the flags of the countries present here at World Youth Day in Brazil. However visually impressive, the overall presentation never lost its religious and liturgical solemnity. Incense-bearing altar servers and a white-garbed guard of honor provided a constant reminder that what was really happening had more to do with spiritual experience than with external theatricality. And what more appropriate place to be living such an experience than right here in Rio, Brazil, the country that was originally named the Land of the Holy Cross. With Pope Francis in Rio, I'm Sean Patrick Lovett.
As we know, Pope Francis looks comfortable in most places. But at the Marian Shrine of Aparecida, this was even more apparent. Not just because of the presence of Mary, to whose maternal protection he entrusted World Youth Day, but also because this national shrine is familiar to him. In 2007, he spent a month here as part of the Latin American Bishops' Council, CELAM, and exercised his role as head of the committee that drafted the gathering's final document on evangelizing the continent anew, the Aparecida document. Aparecida was, in a sense, a Pope Francis moment, for as we know, he inherited from Benedict XVI, now Pope Emeritus, most of the planned World Youth Day events, but chose to add to the schedule a visit to this Marian shrine, which lies 200 kilometers from Rio de Janeiro, and is visited each year by over 7 million pilgrims. It took place on Wednesday, 24th of July, so the third day of his stay in Brazil. The event began at the Basilica of the Shrine with a brief moment of prayer in the chapel by the Hall of the 12 Apostles, where the statue of Our Lady is housed.
Mãe Aparecida, un día levaste vostro figlio ao templo para o consagrar ao Pai, para que fosse inteira disponibilidade para a missão.
And it ended with an act of consecration to Our Lady of Aparecida.
Oh Maria Santissima, per i meriti del nostro Signore Gesù Cristo, in vostra querida immagine di apparecida, espalais innumerosi benefici, soprattutto Brasil.
The consecration, which took place at the end of Holy Mass, celebrated in Portuguese with the local bishops. During his homily on this occasion, Pope Francis highlighted in a special way his Marian devotion. As we know right from the start of his pontificate, Pope Francis entrusted his ministry as successor of Peter to Our Lady, making a surprise visit the day after his election to Rome's Basilica of St. Mary Major. And in Brazil, Pope Francis chose to repeat this gesture of Marian devotion. But why not find out more about the Latin American shrine of Aparecida, linked to an apparition, it seems? I've asked Eamon McCarthy to tell us all about it.
Our Lady of Aparecida is the patron saint of Brazil, represented by a statue of the Virgin Mary located in the Basilica of Aparecida in the state of São Paulo. In Portuguese, the name is Nossa Senhora de Conceição Aparecida. In English, Our Lady of the Conception, who appeared. The shrine is the most visited in Brazil and one of the most visited in the entire Catholic world. As the patron saint of Brazil, Our Lady of Aparecida is also remembered by a national holiday, which is celebrated each year on October 12th. But the story of Our Lady of Aparecida begins in far back 1717. That year, news arrived at the village of Guarantingueta that the Count of Assumar, governor of the province of São Paulo, would be passing by the village on his way to Vila Rica. Thus, the village chieftain sent three fishermen, Domingos Garcia, Felipe Pedroso, and João Alves, to find fish in the Paraíba River for a banquet to offer the Count. These men went down to the river but found nothing. After many unsuccessful attempts, they finally arrived at a place called Porto Idagatsu. João Alves threw his net into the water at that point, and there he brought back a statue of Our Lady, but without a head. He threw his net in again, and soon reeled in the head of the statue. After that, according to the legend, the fish arrived in abundance for the three humble fishermen, and their nets were soon full. According to most sources, the image had been sculpted by a man known as Fray Agostino de Jesus, a monk from São Paulo known for his ability in artistic sculpture. The image, fished out of the waters of the Paraíba River, was less than 3 feet tall and must have been underwater for years, considering it was dated back to 1650. The statue was dark brown in colour and covered by a stiff robe of richly embroidered thick cloth, so that only the Virgin's hands and face can be seen. For the next 15 years, the statue remained with Felipe Pedroso's family, and neighbours of the man came to venerate it. Slowly, a cult began to grow, and, according to the story, many prayers were answered. The fame of the extraordinary powers of Our Lady soon spread throughout the vast country of Brazil. The family were forced to build a prayer chapel, which soon became too small to house the thousands of pilgrims which flocked to pray before the statue. Around 1734, the priest of Guarantingueta built a chapel on the hill of Coquerios, and public visits began soon after. The number of faithful increased year after year, until finally in 1834, construction on a larger church, today's old basilica, was begun. In a solemn ceremony in 1904, the statue of Our Lady of Aparecida was crowned, and in 1908, the church received the title of Minor Basilica. And so the story unfolds, and 20 years later, in 1928, the village that had grown around the church on the hill of the Coquerios became a municipality, until finally in 1929, the Virgin was proclaimed Queen of Brazil and its official patron saint by Pope Pius XI. But because of the popularity of the statue, another much larger shrine soon became necessary, and thus in 1955, construction on this new basilica was begun. The architect designed the building in a form of a Greek cross. For its sheer size and grandeur, it took over 30 years to build. In 1980, still under construction, it was consecrated by Pope John Paul II. Marking the centenary of the coronation of Nossa Senhora Aparecida in 2004, the late Pope wrote,
In the course of the moving history of the dark image of their queen and mother for whom they have such deep love, men and women of all milieus and cultures have proclaimed her sovereign. In this place, almost 3 centuries ago, the Virgin arranged a special meeting with the Brazilian people. The vast multitude of people who flock to the shrine of their queen and patroness are obeying a genuine spiritual impulse and carrying out a deeply Brazilian act by filling this city in the Paraíba Valley with prayers and above all with faith. A faith that is simple, but without any doubt one that is all that faith should be. The search for God, sometimes distorted or imperfect, but touchingly sincere, deeply rooted and capable of sacrifice. A search for God through Our Lady.
Having listened to this story, if you've been attentive to the dates, you'll know why on Wednesday at the end of the Mass, Pope Francis made a surprise remark in Spanish. He said he'd be back in 2017. Let's listen.
Que Nuestra Señora de Aparecida lo cuide y hasta 2017 que voy a volver. Adiós.
Well, if you listen to Ima's report, you'll have remembered that date, 1717. Well, 1717 to 2017, that's 3 centuries. We now know why Pope Francis said he'd be back. A moment ago I mentioned Pope Francis's homily during Holy Mass at what he described as the house of the mother of every Brazilian. Well, to start with, he said that it was at the feet of Our Lady here that he was placing the future, not just of the young pilgrims currently in Brazil for the 28th World Youth Day, but also that of the people of the entire Latin American continent. And then he also went on to say, when the Church looks for Jesus, she always knocks at his mother's door. I too, he remarked, have come here to knock on the door of the house of Mary, so she may help us to pass on to future generations those values necessary to build both a more just and fraternal nation and world. In order to do this, Pope Francis indicated 3 simple attitudes to be adopted. To be hopeful, to allow ourselves to be surprised by God, and to live joyfully.
Gostaria de chamar a atenção para 3 simples posturas. Conservar a esperança, deixar-se surpreender por Deus, viver na alegria.
Os grandes do povo vos pedem favores, majestosa princesa.
To be hopeful, Pope Francis insisted forcefully, because despite the presence of evil in society with its attraction to idols that take the place of God, such as money, success, power and pleasure, God always has the upper hand. To allow ourselves to be surprised by God, because even in the midst of difficulties, God can surprise us if we place our trust in Him. And to live joyfully, because Christians should never be gloomy, as they always have at their side the face of God as a loving Father. Attitudes these the Pope encouraged the faithful to adopt here in Aparecida, where 6 years ago the 5th General Conference of the Bishops of Latin America and the Caribbean was held. That's CELAM. A conference Pope Francis described on Wednesday as a great moment for the Church. One which gave birth to this document we spoke of a moment ago, which could be described as the Magna Carta of evangelizing mission. One which 6 years later he described as the result of an interplay between the work of the bishops and that of the simple faith of the pilgrims under Mary's maternal protection.
O documento de Aparecida nasceu justamente deste encontro entre os trabalhos dos pastores e a fé simples dos romeiros, sob a proteção maternal de Maria.
Vestida de ricos, brocados de
But this prompts the question, what exactly is the history of Selam, this Latin American body whose members Pope Francis is to meet with on Sunday at Sumaré, in the hills overlooking Rio de Janeiro, where he's been staying this past week? A group led by the president of Selam, the Archbishop of Tanlepanta in Mexico, Carlos Aguiar Retes. Well, as I discovered by delving into Vatican Radio archives, Selam was first founded by Pope Pius XII in 1955, and that's how I came up with recordings of this Pope's radio message on that occasion, as well as other archive sound relating to Selam and the following popes: Paul VI, John Paul II, now blessed, and Benedict XVI, now Pope Emeritus. Stay tuned. It's the 24th of July, 1955, when, from the Vatican's Apostolic Palace, the sound engineers of Vatican Radio are adjusting a microphone, which is about to carry the Pope's voice right across the ocean to a faraway land, where a group of Latin American bishops are gathered together for the very first General Conference of the Bishops of Latin America in the city of Rio de Janeiro, eager to switch on the radio and listen to the words of the Roman Pontiff of the time, Pius XII, to mark this solemn occasion.
Amados filhos, quantus no congresso meditaste os mysterios da divina Eucaristia, pensai que o Redentor e Rei Eucaristico.
Fired, no doubt, by the imagination of his travelling past as Cardinal Pacelli, he enthusiastically captures the mood of the occasion, passionately bringing into the picture Rio's landmark giant statue.
Statua do Redentor, de braços constantemente abertos em cruz.
A description enhanced by a very literary and elegant Portuguese.
Spettacolo sovremodo grandioso.
Grandioso, grandiose spectacle, Pius XII declaims, highlighting the figure of Christ the Redeemer with arms outstretched over the people who live as if caught in a tempest at sea. Caught in a tempest at sea, something this Pope had experienced firsthand during the years of the Second World War. But now, 10 years on, in these latter years of his pontificate, he turns his attention geographically elsewhere. Speaking in days when popes did not yet travel, to the bishops of the Latin American Episcopal Council, which he himself had founded that same year. An event marked by Benedict XVI, now Pope Emeritus, 50 years on from 1955. It was in a letter dated 14th of May 2005, addressed to the then president of this body, known as Selam, Cardinal Francisco Javier Errázuriz Ossa, then Archbishop of Chile's capital, Santiago. I've asked Sean Patrick Lovett to read from the English translation of the text for us. Let's listen.
50 years ago, my venerable predecessor, Pius XII, fulfilling the desire expressed by the General Conference of Latin American Bishops, who met in Rio de Janeiro, from the 25th of July to the 4th of August 1955, instituted the Latin American Episcopal Council, Selam, with the purpose of sustaining the pastoral work of the bishops and at the same time of responding to some of the serious problems of the Church in Latin America.
Pope Benedict, in fact, quoted, as Sean has just read for us, from the 1955 Apostolic Letter, Ad Ecclesiam Christi, often described as a sort of Magna Carta of this coordinating body which currently has its seat in Colombia's capital, Bogotá, which, according to its statute, serves as an organism of contact, reflection, collaboration, and indeed service to the bishop conferences of Latin America, all 22 of them. And following in the footsteps of Pius XII, 50 years earlier, Pope Benedict too inevitably focused on the figure of Christ.
Knowing that Jesus Christ is the center of the Catholic faith, and that the purpose of the new evangelization is contributing to ensure that every person encounters the living Christ, Salem has intensely inspired the work of the Latin American Episcopate, so that it testifies to what it means to be faithful disciples of Christ, and nourishes the proper faith through listening to the Word of God.
Words these that also echo those of the first pope to address a General Assembly of the Latin American Episcopal Council in person.
Saludamos y bendicimos a todos los obispos y ordinarios de América Latina.
He was Pope Paul VI, who this time spoke in Spanish, highlighting fidelity to Christ, nourishing the proper faith through listening to the Word of God. But this time offering not only words of encouragement, but words of warning at a spiritual, social, and pastoral level. Speaking out, among other things, against the words of theologians who, he claimed, had lost their way, and against the trend to secularize Christianity. Words he pronounced in Medellin, Colombia. It was 1968, and as I said a moment ago, he did so no longer over the airwaves, but in person as a pilgrim pope, the first in the history of the papacy, as he himself remarked, in the Bermuda Islands in the Caribbean, where he stopped over. They're part of this council's nations. Words in English that regrettably were not recorded. Let's listen to Sean again, reading from the text.
How strange it would have seemed until recently that the successor of Peter would find sufficient a few hours to cross broad continents and mighty seas and visit distant lands whose very existence was unknown to the first pope. Yet such journeys are but the continuation into this century of the apostolic wanderings of the first, who held the high office of representing Christ for people of all continents and races.
Memorable of these all-new journeys are the images picked up by televisions across the world whose mediatic power had begun to surface even when it came to the Roman pontiff. And in Colombia, too, they picked up on the more visually significant images, like Paul VI's celebrating the marriage of a young Indios couple, his strongly worded speech to the campesinos, which highlighted his preferential option for the poor.
Seguiremos denunciando las injustas desigualdades económicas entre ricos y pobres.
And was accompanied by volleys of clapping and shouts of Viva el Papa. Long before people actually did that sort of thing in the Pope's presence. Like Pius XII, Paul VI too often used metaphors linked to a tempest at sea. His exact words at the Second General Assembly expressed regret that the people of Latin America should be swept by a tidal wave of anxiety, one overwhelmingly characteristic of our day and age. But Pope Paul also had words of hope. He proffered words of encouragement and hope in the Lord. Like yourselves, we too, he said, may be feeling the all-encompassing effects of this tempest at sea, but as the Gospels teach us, we should not fear. Remember, Pope Paul said, how on a night fraught with perils, Jesus called to his disciples at sea and said, "It is me, do not be afraid." But getting back now to our history of Selam, the following two general conferences were attended by Pope John Paul II. And these did not take him to Brazil either. For the third, in 1979, he travelled, only 100 days into his pontificate, to Puebla in Mexico, on the very first of his pastoral journeys abroad. And for the fourth, in 1992, he travelled to Santo Domingo, where he also presided over celebrations to mark 500 years of the arrival of Christianity in Latin America, admitting on that occasion that the missionary church's ties to the Spanish conquest produced both light and shadow for the region's indigenous inhabitants. Eventually, however, it has to be said, Pope John Paul did get to visit Brazil during one of his 18 journeys to Latin America, going to Rio, viewing the statue of Christ with its outstretched arms. and making his way amid the rubble and squalor of the city slums, were deeply moved in a spontaneous and symbolic gesture. He removed the gold ring that Paul VI had given him when he was created cardinal, handing it to the local priest there as a donation to the parish. No doubt, in his heart, he knew Paul VI would certainly have approved. And in this land where Pope John Paul travelled for 12 days on a 9,000-kilometre journey, he too, as Paul VI had done before him, pleaded for social justice. Social justice, which he called for in so many of his pastoral journeys to Latin America, putting his personal stamp on controversial issues of social justice, liberation theology, and church political involvement. But in May 2005, during his visit to Brazil, it was Pope Benedict's turn to meet with this international body, which counts nations where over 550 million people live. In Brazil, like that first time, perhaps not by the statue of Christ overlooking the bay, but many miles away by a river, the Rio Pareba, where a popular Marian shrine by the name of Aparecida is located, and made sure that this meeting too was in the shadow of Christ. Let's listen to the exact words he himself used in that letter to mark Selam's 50th birthday back in May 2005.
Selam will seek to strengthen the spirit of communion, of reciprocal charity, and of the Church's inner life. This unity in charity must shine forth in this very exercise of the apostolate among pastors, between them and consecrated persons in the religious life, and between the very persons who live their inner consecration of the charism proper to their community, all of which makes present the model of our Saviour, who came into the world not to be served, but to serve.
And so it was that this week, here in Rome, Pope Francis met with the governing body of Selam for the first time as Roman pontiff, as I said earlier, to discuss a familiar reality. Let's recall how in 2007 it was our present pope's turn as Cardinal Jorge Mario Bergoglio, Archbishop of Buenos Aires in Argentina, to attend the 5th General Conference of Selam at this same Marian shrine of Aparecida in Brazil, a place which has given its name to a much-quoted document, the joint statement of the bishops of Latin America, known in fact as the Aparecida document, which he was among those to present for approval to Benedict XVI, now Pope Emeritus, a document which called for a rethinking of the Catholic Church's mission in the 21st century. But right now, Pope Francis is in Rio de Janeiro in the shadow of that landmark statue representing Christ the Redeemer, mentioned by Pope Pius XII back in 1955. Well, I hope you enjoyed stepping back in time. And that's all I have time for on today's broadcast. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks so much for listening. Don't forget, we'll be back again at this same time tomorrow, so be sure to join us then. Meanwhile, should you wish to check out our website, the address is www.rv.va, and then click on the English World icon. Bye for now. You've been listening to the English programme of Vatican Radio. Laudetur Jesus Christus.